Okay, good there. I will try to do a mystery box Thursday for sure. I doubt we can do it tomorrow and Wednesday because we have Blazer games, but we'll see. This is KOIN Portland. Tom Morgan's my name. CBS News is next at 11. I'll see you tomorrow night after the Blazer game.
CBS News. Following another U.S. veto at the United Nations, Israel makes an appeal for the reconvening of the Geneva Peace Conference. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Israel did not take part in the U.N. Security Council debate because the Palestinians were in on it. After Monday night's action, the Israelis dismissed the debate as sterile and dangerous and said it's time to take the Middle East issues back to Geneva. In the Security Council, a resolution was offered calling on Israel to withdraw from all occupied Arab territory and declaring the right of the Palestinians to set up their own state in the Middle East. The United States cast the veto that killed it. U.S. Ambassador Moynihan said his country is not against the aspirations of the Palestinians, but he said the resolution was not the best way of dealing with the problem of their future. More news in a moment.
I use it continually for a lot of things. I bake, I fry. In fact, last night I had it over vegetables. It's delicious.
This is Don Morrow talking to Allegra Lauren about
Fleischmann's
margarine. You're a real fan, Allegra. Can you tell me why?
Corn oil. 100% corn oil. Not 99 and 9 tenths, but 100%.
Any other reason?
Butterfat is something I'm looking to avoid.
And Fleischmann's is low in saturated fat, as well as being high in polyunsaturates. Is your husband aware of serum cholesterol, Allegra?
I am more than he. I'm very cholesterol-minded.
So you use Fleischmann's as part of a total dietary program to reduce serum cholesterol?
I don't use butter at all. When we started to use margarine was the price. Now, I don't care about the price anymore.
But aren't all margarines the same?
No, they're not.
You're so right, Allegra. Next time you shop, bring home the great taste, the high polyunsaturates, the 100% corn oil of Fleischmann's.
I love it.
CIA Director William Colby has sharply criticized the House Intelligence Committee for news leaks on its yet-to-be-released report on covert activities. Colby said the report, as leaked, is totally biased and represented what he called a bursting of the dam protecting many of our secret operations and activities. Honors were bestowed on Colby Monday, quietly. Phil Jones has that story.
President Ford apparently took some of his own advice on stopping leaks about the CIA and conducted an awards ceremony without telling the public until after it was over and the participants had left the White House. The award, the National Security Medal, was presented to outgoing CIA Director William Colby. Colby family members were present, as well as the Vice President, Secretaries of State and Defense, and many other national security and CIA officials. No pictures were allowed, and the White House wouldn't even provide official photographs of the affair. In the President's citation, he said, "If ever there was especially meritorious service performed in the field of intelligence relating to the national security, it is reflected in the career and contributions of William Egan Colby." It was just last November, in the big cabinet shakeup, that Mr. Ford fired Colby. Phil Jones, CBS News, at the White House.
In San Francisco Tuesday, Patricia Hearst goes on trial on federal bank robbery charges. Her lawyers Monday lost a bid to have the charges thrown out. Federal Judge Oliver Carter rejected a motion to dismiss the charges on grounds the prosecution failed to tell a grand jury about the violent abduction of Ms. Hearst. One of the first orders of business in the trial will be selecting a jury. Ms. Hearst's chief defense lawyer, F. Lee Bailey, was asked about the problem of prejudicial publicity.
In the past, in highly publicized cases, the best jurors I have been able to find are those who will rather forthrightly say, okay, I've heard a lot about this case, I've done some talking about it, but if I'm to be in the jury box, I think I can forget all that nonsense and listen to the evidence and decide on the evidence, and I have seen that work.
Attorney F. Lee Bailey. Organized labor won a significant court battle Monday. A federal judge in Washington ruled the legal and financial aid arm of the National Right to Work Committee operates as a front for employers who are trying to weaken unions. Unless the Right to Work group's lawyers can show cause why he should not, Judge Charles Ritchie said he will issue an injunction barring the group from accepting money from interested employers. A congressional panel reports that fraud and abuse in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare cost taxpayers many millions of dollars every year. Now this.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CBS News, with What's Happening Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network. In recent broadcasts, I've reported on a summer school for the elderly, the impact first ladies have on American life, and covered stories as varied as sequential birth control pills and victories and defeats for American women during International Women's Year. This year, we'll be covering more stories of interest to women and men alike on What's Happening, Monday through Saturday, on the CBS Radio Network.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world who will never see a brighter new day. You can give a child hope. Write for information to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York.
The Agriculture Department says consumers paid $126 more for a market basket of food last year than they did the previous year. The department also says most of that increase, a total of $91, went to the middleman. Only $28 of the increase went to the farmer. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, a third trial date has been scheduled for Robert Wampler, accused of killing State Police Chief Holly Holcomb. Judge Richard Barber of Marion County Circuit Court said today the murder trial will begin March 1st. Wampler, a 60-year-old Beaver Creek resident, has pleaded innocent on grounds of mental illness. Meanwhile, a man who admitted raping and decapitating a Roseburg woman last year was sentenced to life plus 20 years in prison today. 27-year-old Dennis Gordon of the Dalles pleaded guilty in Douglas County Circuit Court to the rape and the murder of 21-year-old Linda Wilkes of Roseburg. She was killed last September when Gordon was out on bail on a charge of raping her. Do you have any old-fashioned, imperfect window glass around your homestead? Well, if you do, the Fort Vancouver National Historic Site needs about 700 panes with their characteristic bubble-like flaws and sometimes wavy surfaces. Glass is to be used in the windows of the fort buildings to recreate the appearance of the original structures. If you'd like to donate your old panes to the historic site, you should call Fort Vancouver or ship the glass directly to the National Park Service at Fort Vancouver National Historic Site in Vancouver, Washington. State Senator Betty Roberts of Portland questioned today whether the Oregon Board of Bar Examiners should be able to deny a license to practice law based on accusations rather than a conviction. The subject arose during a hearing by the Legislative Interim Committee on Labor and Commerce, which is studying policies of the state's licensing board. Senator Roberts was referring to the case of a law school grad who was denied admittance to the bar because he was charged with receiving stolen property. He never was convicted. Oregon Motor Vehicle Division says about 10% of all Oregon drivers renewing their licenses in the past 4 months have agreed to donate their bodies to medicine in case of death. Persons wishing to become a donor can have a D marked on their driver's license and also must carry a donor card. Weather forecast for the metro area, a little bit of rain tonight, some rain at times Tuesday through Wednesday, lows 40 to 45, highs about 50 both days, southeast to south winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. There will be some higher gusts early Tuesday, the chance of rain 70% tonight, 90% tomorrow. At 11:08, you're up to the minute with Coin 97 News. I'm Tom Morgan.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Our tale is about spies. Don't be fooled by the disrepute into which the spy has fallen in the news and in our estimation. The spy has always been with us. Secretly or furtively, he seeks information with the intention of giving it to a hostile party. And for every spy, there is a counter-spy. What motivates them? Greed? That is true of an informer, but not of a spy. Usually it's love of country. Sometimes it's hatred of another.
Mr. Ferris, we are in trouble. You are suspected.
Well, so you said, but I don't see how.
The coded telephone message, it was audited. That is why our plan to destroy the tanker off Galveston failed. Two valuable men are dead, and the plan failed. Your usefulness to us may be over.
After all the information I've supplied to you?
For which you were paid substantially. You are merely a paid informer. You have been useful to us. We do not want to lose you as our supplier.
And I don't want to be exposed.
We would not allow it. You know too much. Before you would have a chance to talk, you would be dead.
Our mystery drama, The Ferret, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Elliot Reed. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then
talk to the good hands people.
First question. Does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not,
talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not,
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave the sun behind, I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be queen. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy, this is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Even before history was recorded, kings and heads of clans, barbarian despots, and even the semi-civilized employed spies and paid them fortunes for secret information which might tip an advantage to them. Although we are adjured to treat our fellow men as we would treat a brother, life does not work out that way. We want what another has, and sometimes we achieve it by subterfuge. And the instrument of subterfuge is the spy.
Cocktail, Monk?
No, thanks. You go ahead, Amory. You deserve one after what happened in Galveston. Well, once we fix their wagons... It is Ferris, right?
No question about it. You intercepted the coded telephone call. I have no doubt that it was phoned in by Ferris.
Yeah.
He's the only person I know of at Energy Exploration who has contact with Warren.
Well, it's hard to believe. A guy in a big security job selling out his own country. For what?
Money.
Well, when do we move in on him?
We don't. Not yet.
But I...
No. I've had instructions from Washington. We've got Ferris whenever we want him. But we want the big fish behind him. The men paying him for the information.
Warren?
And many more.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are ways of making Ferris talk.
No good. Warren and the others would just scatter, and before they did, Ferris could be dead. They play rough. You know that.
Yeah. What's the plan?
Cat's paw.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Me.
Washington's orders?
My suggestion, but they bought it.
All right, fill me in.
I'm about to, Monk. My life will be in your hands.
You must be feeling pretty good, darling.
I am. Had a pleasant day, Laurie?
Oh, better than usual. I visited Penny's teacher. Our 12-year-old has been put into advanced study.
Well, that's good news. I didn't know she was an overachiever, except at tuning in the television set.
Well, that pleased me, of course. But the reason I said you must be feeling good is the article in tonight's paper.
Oh? I read a contract on the train, so I didn't buy a paper. What article?
It's by some columnist, waving the flag about somebody's quick work in Galveston.
Ah, the oil tanker.
How can you be so complacent about it, Amory?
I'm not. It was one of our small achievements.
Small? We prevent a tanker from being blown up and you call it a small achievement? It saved our country millions of gallons of oil. Two of the men who planned the sabotage were killed.
Yes, and there are more where they came from, Lois.
But we're doing something about it. For a year, all I've heard from you is that one project after another at energy exploration is being hindered because the information is being leaked to enemies in other countries. You've been worried about it, and so has Clem Ferris.
Oh, he's been concerned, all right.
Well, I should think he would be. How can it happen? Everyone at the Bureau has been carefully screened. Isn't that where the leak is? How is that possible?
If we knew, darling, we'd do something about it.
There must be an informer there.
Could be. Security is watching every one of us very carefully.
Even you?
Even me. Even though I'm just the lawyer who specializes in land deeds.
Oh, it's got to be some scientist. Maybe some man in geodynamics.
Hmm?
Their knowledge of sources of raw energy would be worth a lot to anyone who wants to cripple our energy program. Maybe there's a spy.
If there's an informer, Loris, you can be almost certain there's a spy.
Then isn't there also a counter spy?
I really wouldn't know, darling.
Sometimes you can be so unsatisfactory. There you are, working at a sensitive bureau overrun with informers and spies and counter-spies.
Oh, Loris, you read too many spy novels.
You don't believe that kind of thing goes on?
Oh, probably, in a very business-like way. Spying is a business, just as the law is a business. I don't want to disillusion you.
But you laugh at me. Telephones are tapped. There is microfilm.
And micro-recorders in tie bars and cufflinks and so on. Yes, I suppose so. But what's important are not those who play the cloak-and-dagger game. It's the country or the person behind them. We may have prevented one tanker from being blown up and two men were killed. They were only tools. It's those behind them we have to worry about.
You know more about all this than you're telling me, Amory. I sense it. What is it? Who is it?
I don't even dare to tell myself.
What?
I mean it, Loris. Speculation could be an invitation to a trip to the morgue.
Good evening, Mr. Ferris.
Evening.
You would like something? A cocktail, perhaps?
No, thanks. Let's get this over with, Warren. My nerves are a little ragged.
Understandable. To some, life is precious. You do not want to lose yours.
You might say that.
It depends on the plan we have worked out. Perhaps it will succeed, but we are dealing with a very dangerous person. The ferret. A counter-spy. We assume it is a man.
The ferret? Who the devil is the ferret?
We would give a great deal to know. It is a person without a shadow.
You think perhaps this ferret works for energy explorations?
How else to explain the suspicions now directed at you? The intercepted coded telephone message.
Yeah. Well, you said you had a plan. Does it involve me?
Yes. Critically. I pointed out that their counterintelligence wants more than just you. It wants to net those behind you, those I represent. So they wait. We cannot afford to wait. If we destroy the ferret, the evidence against you is destroyed.
All right. What do you want me to do?
Look, it's quite simple. You are being followed, of course.
Oh?
Don't be naive. You come into New York by train each day, isn't that so?
Yes, I board at Larchmont, an 8 o'clock train.
Good. And tomorrow?
Same routine.
Also good. Now, when we leave this restaurant, you go to Grand Central, yes?
Yes, I'll take the 6:45 home.
And with you, you will take a package.
All right. What's in it?
A detail, and unimportant. Now, tomorrow morning, when you take the train from Larchmont, you will have the package with you. All right. And you will lose it. You will leave it on the rack overhead on the train. And that is all.
Hello there.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
I lost a package when I came in this morning on the 8 o'clock from Larchmont.
Oh, what's it look like?
Oh, it's a box about 12 by 18 and 3 inches deep. It's wrapped in brown paper.
Your name on it?
It might be Ferris. Clem Ferris.
Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, I got it. This it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, sign here.
There you are.
And thank you.
That's okay.
Goodbye.
Well, it worked, Amory. How do you feel?
Nervous.
Did you see the kid with the camera?
No.
Pretty smooth. 18 or so. I talked to him. He was taking pictures, he said, for some school project.
Down in Lost and Found?
Oh, sure. He said he'd been all over Grand Central. He likes them light beams that filter down into the upper level.
Swell. And he got a picture of me?
That's right. Just when you turned away from the guy in Lost and Found. Well, you're it now, Amory.
Operation Cat's Paw.
Yeah. Now what?
We have lunch across the street, and then I have a surprise in store for Mr. Ferris.
Well, I'd like to see his face when you walk in on him.
Oh, I'll be just my pleasant, simple self.
Yes, Linda. Amory Mills?
Certainly. Send him in.
Hi, Clem. Look what I found.
My
package. Where did you get my package?
Lost and Found. Grand Central.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. How the devil did...
Don't I deserve a thank you?
Of course. I'm just mystified. How did you know I'd lost it?
I left it on the train this morning, and I was going to pick it up tonight.
I really don't understand.
Oh, it's quite simple, Clem. A friend of mine, Ted Palmer, rides the same 8 o'clock you take into town from Larchmont. He's always the last off the train. He saw the package and turned it into Lost and Found.
But how did you find out about it?
I'm just curious. Well, Ted and I played squash and had lunch. He told me about picking up a lost package. I asked him more about it, and he suddenly remembered your name and that I work here with you. So I strolled over to Lost and Found, picked it up, and saved you a trip.
I see. Well, that's something. Thanks, Amory. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's all right. I've done my good deed for the day.
Linda, try to reach Mr. Warren at his office. Leave a message. I must see him at 5:30 at Gino's on 53rd. Tell him it's important.
His face dropped a foot, Monk.
What about this Ted Palmer?
Don't worry about Ted. I can trust him. I gave him the story we agreed on.
Well, didn't he ask any questions?
Sure. I told Ted to say he'd found a package left on the train. Then we played squash, and over lunch he remembered the name Ferris. Told me, and I picked up the package to save Ferris the bother.
Uh-huh. Wasn't your friend curious?
Certainly. But Ted's a good guy, and he'll stick to the story. I told him he'd read all about it one of these days in the papers.
Well, he's got to know you're mixed up in something funny, Amory. Like, how come you go out of your way to pick up the package at Lost and Found? Unless he's a dope, he'd have to wonder.
He's no dope, and he did wonder. I told him I'd explain later. Oh, listen, stop worrying about Ted.
Okay. Well, now, I got something for you. Did you know that Ferris is meeting Warren at Gino's?
No.
Neither did I. I've called off Ferris's tail, so who except Ferris would know he's meeting Warren?
I have no idea. How'd you find out?
Phone call?
Man or woman?
Hard to tell.
I'll be darned. Wheels within wheels.
It's a big operation, Amory.
Do you think the ferret could be involved in it?
Maybe. This cat's paw idea sounds like one of his. Or hers.
In some ways, each of us leads a double life. We appear one way to those whom we report to, another way to those we trust and regard as harmless. We have two faces. Think about it. Why do we ever practice deception? For self-protection. If you're severely critical of your boss, chances are you'll be discharged. If you have reason to believe that your son-in-law is cruel to his wife, do you tell him so? Not often. Then, what about a spy? Consider his way of life as it continues to unfold when I return for Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Based on EPA tests, Buick's midsize Century with available automatic transmission and the Buick V6 got 17 miles per gallon in the city test and 25 in the highway test. Of course, those figures are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it means is this. Buick's V6 Centuries with automatic transmission got better overall EPA mileage ratings than any other U.S. midsize with automatic transmission. Nice going, Buick. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Joel spoke in the name of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So pay attention to your visions and dreams. They may contain more than you imagine. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Spy. He wears a number of faces, one for his wife, one for his employer, another for his friends, to whom he appears to be just an ordinary person, and still another as he goes about his dangerous business. And it is dangerous. His death would go unmarked. Even though we know who Amory Mills really is, we are about to discover what a counter spy does. The stake is high. It's his life.
You are impetuous, Mr. Ferris. You are suspected. We should not be seen together in a public restaurant.
I had to see you. The package was picked up at Lost and Found and returned to me.
Ah, the plan worked. Wait, you say it was returned to you? That I did not anticipate. We expected the package to be claimed and examined, but returned to you?
That's right.
It's odd. We have a picture of the man who claimed it. Here. See this.
Well, that's Amory Mills. He's a lawyer for us. What do you make of it?
What did he say?
A friend of his named Ted Palmer picked up the package. He turned it in. My name was on it. Palmer and Mills had lunch together. Palmer mentioned the package and Mills picked it up to save me some trouble. That's the story.
Yes. It could very well be a story. I don't like it.
It sounded straight to me. I spoke to Palmer. He confirms what Mills told me.
Either it is true, or your Amory Mills is the counter-spy in your company, the Ferret.
Mills? Nonsense. He's just a simple, competent lawyer. Works on land deeds. He's open and good-hearted.
I must judge for myself. Can we arrange that?
Oh, I suppose so.
Tonight I will accompany you home, if it is not too much of an inconvenience for Mrs. Ferris. Now, this is what we must arrange.
Hey, you're on time.
Sure. The train made it for once.
Well, wash up. We're going out.
Oh?
Lucille Ferris telephoned and insisted we come over for cocktails. Her husband's bringing home some big shot from some export-import company, Mr. Warren. Maybe you know him.
Warren? No, I don't know that name, Loris. Oh, honey, do we really have to go? I thought I'd watch television with Penny.
Oh, good heavens, Amory. This is Mr. Ferris, your boss. We can't turn them down. Now go on, wash up, and change.
And, darling, don't bug Ferris about your concerns.
If I'm concerned, he must be a lot more concerned. Information must be leaking out of there to our enemies.
Oh, enemies. Darling, the world isn't like that.
The newspapers said that...
Well, sure, there's spying going on, but there's counter-spying, too. I just can't believe there's a spy in every closet.
Then you explain why, time after time, there's an attempt made to destroy a new offshore oil rig, or there's a mysterious explosion in a natural gas field, or a tanker sinks without explanation. Explain those, Amory. And you don't think there are enemies at work? And right in your company, which is a very sensitive one. Energy exploration is almost like a government agency. Someone in there is stealing confidential information. Mr. Ferris knows that. I want to ask him what he's doing about it.
He won't tell you much. Why should he tip his hand?
Well, maybe not. I just want to hear from him that something is being done about it. Just because you're complacent doesn't mean I am. Now, go on. Clean up.
Who'd you say the guest was? The import-export big shot?
Warren. Mr. Warren. Mind my asking all these questions, Clem?
Oh, certainly not, Loris. I'm interested that you're concerned. So is Amory, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. But security isn't my line of work.
You do legal work, yes, Mr. Mills?
That's right. I'm one of the lawyers at the company.
All those confidential documents.
Oh, sure. Land condemnation proceedings. Nothing confidential about those. The suits are tried in the newspapers before we ever get to court.
You proceed against the owners?
We have to. It's tough on them, but if we have to have the land, the courts condemn it.
Well, that is confiscation.
The people are paid a fair price for their property, Mr. Warren.
It's the greater good for the greater number.
Oh, yes, yes. The democratic principle.
You don't believe in it, Mr. Warren? It is Warren, isn't it? English name?
Yes, yes. On my mother's side, partly. In this country, I take her family name.
Oh, I see.
No, you do not see, Mrs. Mills. I am many things. My father was from the Mediterranean. My mother, English. My blood is from the desert and from France and England. It is mixed. So are my thoughts about the different forms of government. Here it is the principle of the greatest good for the greatest number. Under a demagogue, a dangerous concept. Hitler preached it.
He distorted it.
Now, darling, let's not get into that. Don't be a flag waver.
Well, I don't know why not, Damery. Loris is a concerned American. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, but as I was saying to Loris earlier this evening, I just can't imagine that there's a spy in every closet.
But something's been going on at Energy Exploration. You said everyone was worried about it and that security had been tightened. And maybe that's why that oil tanker escaped. Isn't that so, Clem?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Oh, you must have been pleased. The Bureau's been ripped off so many times.
Ripped off?
Slang for stealing, Mr. Warren.
Ah. You suspect that someone has been stealing information, Mr. Mills?
Well, I wouldn't really know. As I said, I'm just the lawyer in charge of land deeds, things like that.
Well, it's obvious to me.
Darling, you have got spies on the mind. You read too much fiction.
Well, there's a lot in them, and they're not all that much fiction. Well, I'll join the ladies. And don't be too long, Amory. We have to get the babysitter home.
Oh, all right, dear.
Good night, Clem. Mr. Warren.
Good night, Laura.
Good night.
Ah, nice party, Clem. Glad you enjoyed it.
I wanted you to meet Mr. Warren here. He's an old friend of mine from the time I was an embassy clerk in the Middle East. I told him about the adventures of my missing package.
A delightful story. It is like fiction.
No, just fact. My friend Ted Palmer found it and mentioned it to me at lunch. Mm. I walked across the street to Grand Central and lost and found and picked it up, returned it to Clem.
Very considerate.
Well, Clem carries important papers from time to time. We don't want them to slip into the wrong hands.
Meaning?
Loris does get worked up about the Bureau and the series of accidents we've had in the field, but she may have a point. It would be to the advantage of some countries to impede our plan to become energy free.
Yes, I see. It is not a nice world.
Oh, by the way, Emery, I thanked your friend Ted Palmer this afternoon.
Oh, that was considerate of you, Clem.
It is a strange story, Mr. Mills.
Not really, Mr. Warren. Just a good deed. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Of course.
We do have a babysitter to get home. Good night, Mr. Warren.
Good night.
Don't bother to see me out, Clem. I'll say good night to Lucille, and I'll see you in the office tomorrow.
That is where he is wrong.
What do you mean?
He is the man.
Amory Mills? The ferret? Why, he's just a simple going along.
You're wrong. He is a very dangerous counter-spy. We think he is tricked into reclaiming that package. He plays into our hands, only to return the package to you with a story so preposterous you believe it. I ask you, Mr. Ferris, who would hear about a lost package and then go out of his way to pick it up and return it to its owner? I ask you also why this Ted Palmer did not telephone your secretary and say that he had the package. Why tell Emery Mills? And why wait until lunchtime? Did Palmer speak to your secretary?
She didn't mention it. I'll ask her in the morning.
Too late. Tomorrow we dispose of Emery Mills.
Oh, come on. I don't want murder on my hands.
You prefer your own death, Mr. Ferris? This is what you will do. On some pretext, you will have Mr. Mills leave New York.
Now, wasn't that pleasant?
Very nice.
I'll keep the babysitter until we have some supper. Scrambled eggs and bacon, okay?
Sure. I'm stuffed from all those hors d'oeuvres.
Come on out in the kitchen and keep me company.
Okay.
I didn't like that Mr. Warren. I wonder what his real name is.
Alibaba, the rug dealer. I don't know.
He's a villain.
You're funny.
Go ahead, laugh. I have an intuition about people. Something's wrong with him.
Oh, darling. That's just as dumb as saying persons with eyes close together are criminals.
Okay.
Anything I can do?
Stir the eggs slowly. I'm going in to check in with the babysitter. Stir slowly.
Slowly, she says. Mr. Warren is a villain. Oh, what a word. If we could bottle her energy, we wouldn't have a problem.
Amory?
Yes? You sound upset. What is it?
Pam's been here since 4. I was out shopping until you came home from work. The telephone rang, and Pam answered it was Lucille Ferris. She invited us to cocktails, right?
Yes. Go on.
Well, Pam just remembered something else. Just after I left, a man came in from the telephone company. He said he was there to repair the phone.
I see.
There's nothing wrong with the phone, Amory.
Now there is.
Well, what do you mean by that? You frighten me.
I'll check the phones. They've been tampered with, bugged.
What? But why?
I work in a high-security job, darling.
Then there are spies at EEI.
It looks like it. If I'm right, I won't remove the bugs, but remember this. No matter who telephones our number, say nothing significant. Talk nonsense. Pretend that we've been taken in. The phone tap goes somewhere. I want to find it. And don't, under any circumstances, open the door to a stranger.
The many faces of everyone, but especially the face of a spy. The word
creates an unpleasant picture. We think of a spy as someone dishonorable. And we're right. He's a thief. But the greater thieves are those who employ him. They do it to gain an advantage over others. So in the name of dishonor, the spy exists, never doubt it, and performs his furtive work, and who is to say who is the more dishonorable? The spy or those who avail themselves of his services? I will return shortly with Act Three.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Imagine living without electricity, or indoor plumbing, or food when you're hungry, or clothing when you're cold, or a job when you need money, or a school to get an education. Millions of children around the world don't have to imagine. They live that way. But there is hope, and you're it. By contributing to Save the Children Federation, you can help erase a lifetime of misery. All it takes is a few dollars. Won't you please send your check to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017.
Hello there, this is Jim Backus. You know, I asked my friend, Mr. Magoo, have you ever heard of the disease of prosperity? You probably have, only you've heard of it as heart attack. It's called the disease of prosperity because the risk factors that increase the chances of heart attack are usually the result of prosperous living condition. Childhood habits. Some children get in the habit of watching TV instead of exercising. Smoking often begins in the teens or sometimes even earlier. And by the time they reach middle age, many of them are overweight, inactive, and have high levels of cholesterol and other fatty substances in the blood. High blood pressure is also common at that age. Any one of these conditions or risk factors increases the chance of heart attack. A combination of two or more multiplies that risk. One way you can protect your heart is to see your doctor. Another way is to support your Heart Association's efforts to find more of the answers to heart attack. So give to the Heart Fund now. And thank you very much.
Someone once wrote that a traitor never sees his danger until his ruin is at hand. History bears out the truth of the observation. Clement Ferris is a traitor. He is a powerful man in Energy Exploration Incorporated, and he has been selling information vital to our energy research to a spy named Warren. But a bland, apparently harmless young man named Amory Mills is a counter-spy, and the silent, deadly contest between the two has been joined. How it will be resolved, we are soon to discover.
Good morning, Amory.
Morning, Clem. You wanted to see me?
Yes, this is short notice, but I've had a call from young Fisher in New Orleans, the engineer. He'd appreciate it if you'd come down there right away.
Oh, well, of course. What's the problem?
Well, as I understand it, Fisher's work is being held up because his inventory on steel is low, and when he ordered additional material, the price was increased on him.
But that can't be, Clem. We have a contract with the supplier. I'll get on the phone.
No, I've already done that. I want you down there to settle the problem on the spot. Can you leave before noon?
Well, sure. I'll go home and pack and head for the airport.
I've already made reservations for you at the Cajun.
Not the Roosevelt?
Well, you like the Cajun. It's small and intimate. Good luck, and telephone me tomorrow.
Operations lost and found?
You've got the public payphone in Grand Central at the bottom of the stairs on the lower level. This is the anchorite.
Good. Now listen carefully, Monk. I'm leaving at 3 for New Orleans on business, but it's not business. Ferris, or more likely his friend, a Mr. Warren, 5'6", thin, black eyes and swarthy skin, has become suspicious. I'm being sent on a one-way trip.
I know what to do. Where are you staying?
The Cajun.
I see. Bourbon Street. All right. I'll handle it. Anything else?
If I don't make it, you also know what to do.
Yeah. Harris is the guy.
And Warren's the paymaster. I hope to see you, Monk.
You will.
You know something, Amory? I've decided that either you're really absent-minded or that you're devious.
Oh, come on. Devious. That means crooked. Me? You know me.
I should. But sometimes I wonder. I mean, this trip, for instance.
Well, darling, it came up all of a sudden. I told you that.
We saw the Ferrises last night. Didn't Clem Ferris say something about it then?
No. Why?
Because I've never seen New Orleans. And with 24 hours notice, I could have gone with you. That's why.
Oh, well, darling, we'll make the trip together some other time.
What's happened now in New Orleans?
Oh, nothing very important.
That must be important if Clem gives you a few hours notice and sends you flying off.
Darling, it's just some problem with a local supplier of steel we need to complete the installation of a new rig off the coast. Now, can I bring you something from New Orleans?
Yes. You.
Thanks, Laura.
I don't know why, but... Well, I've got a very funny feeling about this trip of yours.
Oh?
I can't explain it. Just be careful.
I will. And listen to me, darling. If you hear anything bad about me, ignore it. Will you do that?
What? Are you superstitious, too?
Not a bit. I'm just telling you. Don't worry about me. And don't worry about anything you might hear. Got that?
Amory, you're holding something back. What is it?
Look, darling, the work I'm in is sensitive. You know that. Even though I'm just a simple lawyer who shuffles papers all day long and draws deeds for condemning land, a lot of money is always involved, and so are a lot of interests. Guys can get hurt. You know that. I've told you that before. So be prepared not to believe anything you hear. I can take care of myself. Nothing's going to happen to me. Not bad. I wonder how long I'll have to wait. Who is it?
Lost and found. Compliments to the Cajun, Mr. Mills.
Well, how nice. A basket of fruit.
May I put it on the table?
Sure.
May I suggest you don't touch it?
All right.
Until later.
Whatever you say.
Management also wanted me to check the fire escape.
Go right ahead. But why would I need to use a fire escape? Is there danger of fire?
I never can tell, Mr. Mills. Fire escape's useful if there's a fire or just for slipping away without being seen.
Well, I'm not going to try to skip out if that's what you're afraid of. At least, not willingly.
That's the point. Excuse me.
Hello. Oh, Mr. Fisher. Well, I'm here all right. Are you the engineer? I see. Yes, the sooner the better. Come right up. I'm in 211. Who is it?
Fisher.
Why, Mr. Warren.
Sit down, Mr. Mills. I must talk with you.
But I was expecting Mark Fisher. He's the engineer who...
Oh, we know Mr. Fisher.
I know you're a friend of Mr. Ferris's, but... I am mystified. Why are you in New Orleans? And why have you come to see me? Has Ferris sent you?
You play the fool.
Well, I hope not, but I sure feel like one. Ferris sent me down to check on a problem Fisher's got, and I'm supposed to try to straighten it out, solve it. Are you involved? Who are you, really? Security for EEI?
You delight me.
Well, that's nice to hear. Sit down and tell me how.
I will do that.
Have you come with some special instructions for Mr. Ferris?
You might say that.
I really don't understand.
Well, then I will explain.
Would you like some refreshment? I can call down for room service.
No, that would be fatal.
fatal. Hey, what's going on?
It will be fatal anyway. But my way, it is so much neater. You have been caught, Mr. Mills.
I have. What's the charge?
You are not Amory Mills. You are counterintelligence.
Are you all right, Mr. Warren? You sound crazy.
It is you who are, as you say, crazy. You know who I am, and you know who you are.
Of course. You're an import-export dealer and a friend of Mr. Ferris's. I'm Amory Mills, a lawyer who specializes in land deeds. Let's take it from there.
I also represent foreign interests.
Oh?
You play act this so well. No wonder for so long the ferret has had this awesome reputation for counterintelligence, but no longer. You have been found out.
You really are crazy. I'm going to have to ask you to leave, Mr. Warren.
I don't think so. This is my security.
You'd shoot me? Why the devil would you do that? What have I done?
Oh, yes, I will not hesitate to shoot you. What you have done, Mr. Mills, is to interfere. Mr. Ferris does not like this. I do not like this. He loses money. The interests I represent lose even more. We fail to make haste in delaying your country's search for sources of energy.
You pay Ferris for information and then sabotage our... Why, that's incredible.
You are marvelous. The stage lost a great gift when it lost you, Mr. Mills. Come now. We will no longer talk like fools. I am a spy. Ferris is in my employ. You are a counter-spy. You work for your own country. You have been caught, Mr. Mills, and you will die. But not before you tell us everything you know.
Who is us?
Oh, there are several of us. You and I will leave here and go to another location. There we ask you questions.
You make it sound unpleasant, Mr. Warren.
It can be very unpleasant, I assure you. Our methods are very refined. You will talk, Mr. Mills.
Rather than that, what if I resist?
I have this gun with a silencer attachment. I shoot you.
And carry me through the lobby of the hotel and out into Bourbon Street?
Oh, we take you down the fire escape, Mr. Mills. The Cajun is not your modern hotel. That is why you are here. Mr. Ferris made the arrangements at my instruction.
Clem Ferris. So you've been paying him off to supply you with information which you use to sabotage our energy program. It's hard for a simple guy like me to comprehend. It's like a cloak and dagger story.
This is not a story, Mr. Mills. This is a real life. Now, on your feet.
It's true, Loris. I don't know what else to tell you. His body was found in the river. The police identified him from the papers in his wallet. Whoever waylaid him beat him until he was horribly disfigured.
Oh, Amory. Amory dead. But why?
Loris, everyone in this company is a potential target for our enemies. Perhaps Amory had been snooping around.
Oh, Clem,
I don't know what else to say, Loris. I'll see to the arrangements. And don't worry about money. Amory was killed in the line of duty. You'll be well provided for.
But without Amory, I don't want to live.
Who? Mr. Monk. Who is he, Linda? Oh, I see a friend of Amory Mills. Yes, I suppose I'll have to see him. Tell him to come in.
Mr. Ferris?
Yes? Who's this other man with his hat pulled down over his face? What kind of guy...
Hello, Clem.
Amory Mills. But I thought...
I've got to have a talk with you, Mr. Ferris.
Amory, I heard you'd been waylaid and murdered. I told Loris.
I can hardly blame you, Clem. It could have been me. Some guy slipped me a knockout drop in a saloon and stole my wallet. The police caught him and brought him in.
You say this other man, the man who was found in the river with his face disfigured.
He was dark-haired, about 5'6", swarthy skin, a Mid-Easterner.
But why was he found in the river, disfigured and dead?
I think you know why.
I'm not a mind reader, Mr. Monk.
And I'm not a school crossing guard, Mr. Ferris. Now get your hat and come with me.
What?
Unless you can prove otherwise, Mr. Ferris, you're a traitor to the United States, and you're under arrest.
Your wife okay?
Yes, thank you. And thanks for New Orleans.
My job, Avery. Also, you mean a lot to us. Well, thanks to you, we got Ferris, Warren, and a whole network of his little assassins. You saw the evening's headlines?
Yes. Monk, who really was behind all this? I mean, on our side.
I don't know. Some say the ferret. Why?
Well, several things. First, Ted Palmer really did pick up that package of Ferris's and drop it at Lost and Found.
Yeah, I know. But if it had Ferris's address on it...
His Larchmont address.
Well, then he must have telephoned Ferris.
He did. The message never got to him. Another thing. Who found out that Ferris was having drinks with Warren at Gino's? You said somebody telephoned you, but you couldn't say whether it was the voice of a man or of a woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, who was it who pulled the strings behind our backs? You mentioned the ferret. Who is the ferret? Could it have been Ferris's secretary?
Linda? No, she was taken into custody.
Is she there now?
Well, I wouldn't know. I see what you're getting at. The ferret could be a woman.
Could be. And we'll never know.
There's an old German proverb, if my aunt had wheels, she'd be an omnibus. And if each of us was honest, if each of us refused to reach for what others have and we do not, what a moral world it would be. Utopian? It is indeed. And that is why we have spies, and why those spied upon have their counter-spies. A final observation when I return shortly.
Sound familiar? Each year, fire claims a devastating toll in human life and property. Last year, fire killed over 11,000 people and destroyed close to $4 billion in property. Underwriters Laboratories field engineer Ray McNabb says you can help prevent this terrible killer from striking you or the ones you love by following these simple precautions.
Check the condition of electrical cords, appliances, and receptacles. Make certain that electrical cords are not frayed or placed beneath carpeting. Always keep matches and lighters away from children. And store paints and other flammable liquids in sealed containers.
And know exactly where your fire extinguisher is located.
That's right. Keep a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, the garage, and where your heaters are located. And be sure it is accessible should the fire start in that area.
This is public safety information from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
If you have any doubt about the validity of our story, I refer you to the newspapers and magazines and some of their recent reports. Can you doubt that there is a silent network throughout the world of men struggling against each other to obtain information and to invalidate it? It's rather a creepy idea, isn't it? Our cast included Elliot Reed, Patricia Elliott, Court Benson, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It was a rough night, and I had to pay extra for oars. We were nigh on to Snake Island when a squall hit it suddenly, and we broached to, fighting the riptide. Well, that was when we lost him.
He fell overboard.
Oh, no, Shabbos, it weren't exactly like that. There was lightning, as you know, and coming around the point of the island, all of a sudden, like, there was what you might call a illusion.
What kind of an illusion? The figure of a woman above the water,
right? Oh, no, not that one, sir. This was an hand.
a woman's hand that reached up from the water and that Mr. Philip bent over to grasp. And before we knew it, he was overboard and underwater and lost.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. This is KOIN Portland. The time in the Northwest is 12 midnight.
CBS News. Israeli Prime Minister Rabin arrives in Washington later this morning for the first of two talks with President Ford. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Rabin is expected to ask Mr. Ford about an administration proposal to give Israel $500 million less in aid for the next fiscal year than it is getting for the current fiscal year. The Ford proposal was disclosed last week. Israeli officials have said the cut in proposed aid would seriously affect Israel's military position in the Middle East conflict. Last night in the UN Security Council, the United States vetoed a resolution that called on Israel to withdraw from all occupied Arab land. The resolution that was vetoed also affirmed the right of the Palestinians to an independent state. Rabin said the American veto would allow a sort of advancement toward peace. The Palestinians had an answer to the veto, and Richard C. Hodlett has that story.
The PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, had the last word in the Security Council's Palestine debate. The PLO's foreign minister, Farouk Kaddoumi, brushed aside the veto with which the United States had killed a resolution on Palestinian political rights. Veto or no veto, he said, our rights in Palestine are inherent. They do not derive from recognition or grant by any power. The council debate, he said, had shown that the PLO represents the Palestinian people and that no peace, no just and durable solution is possible without the consent and participation of the PLO. Kaddoumi declared that the PLO would meanwhile continue its struggle, in the first instance, to keep Israel from consolidating its hold on occupied territory. Israel, which boycotted the council debate, issued a statement through a spokesman dismissing it as sterile and dangerous and calling for a reconvention of the Geneva Peace Conference without a Palestinian delegation. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
I'll have more news in a minute.
I'm Dennis Weaver, sometimes known as McCloud. You know, out here in New Mexico and Arizona on some of our Indian reservations, I've met some handsome, intelligent Indian kids who have a lot to contribute to this world. But they'll never have that chance unless they get an education. And they don't have any money. They sometimes don't even have the basic necessities like shoes and clothing. They think these things are luxuries. Well, there's a program called Futures for Children. And it's trying to give these kids a chance. But it takes money from people like you and me who care. Won't you help to give a kid a chance? Futures wants to see that these kids get an education and then they'll be able to take care of themselves. So send your request for information on how to sponsor one of these children to Futures for Children, Post Office Box 14204, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87109. But send a check, too. These kids need help.
Public school teachers in Pittsburgh will be back in the classrooms later today following ratification of a new contract and the end of a 57-day strike. Teachers Federation President Albert Fondi made the announcement.
All of us will be at our assignments at the regular time, and I ask you as a last message here, make this strike mean not only what it has meant to the union, but make it mean a real positive, a real lasting benefit to the entire school system, to the children in the school system, and to the city of Pittsburgh itself.
The teachers' new contract gives them $400 raises starting in April and additional raises over the next 2 years. But the teachers must still pay contempt of court fines. School officials in Detroit say the first day of busing to achieve integration was a success yesterday, even though nearly one-third of the students stayed home.
Supporters of the city's anti-busing groups kept their children home in what they called an indefinite yellow flu boycott. Detroit is the largest city in the country to carry out desegregation plan ordered by the courts. About 10% of the pupils are to be bused under the plan. And now, this message.
If I were to say, what's your idea of the great American dessert, what would you answer?
You talking to me?
Well, who else is the king of cookery on Mike Roy's Cook Thing Monday through Friday here on CBS? Who else?
Proudly, I am.
By golly, you're right. So, what's your idea of the great American dessert?
The apple pie.
Yeah, good boy.
Not just apple pie, but crunchy harvest apple pie. And that's exactly what we're going to make tomorrow on the Cooking Thing.
Oh, Mike Roy, I love you. Apple pie and ice cream. Tomorrow on Mike's Cooking Thing, right here on the CBS Radio Net.
I know the holiday season has its way of keeping us busy all the time, but now that it's over, you can just sit back and relax. Hi, I'm Max Morath. Now, you can't sit back and relax just yet if you haven't answered your Christmas Seal letter. It's not too late, because Christmas Seals work all year around, fighting against lung disease, cigarette smoking, and the rising pollution of our towns and cities. So remember, get that Christmas Seal letter out today.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath.
The trial of Patricia Hearst gets underway today in San Francisco. Miss Hearst faces charges of robbing a California bank while she was a kidnap victim of the Symbionese Liberation Army. Jury selection the next few days is expected to center around the attitudes of jurors toward kidnapped victims. Authorities say that all spectators in the trial will be required to pass through a metal detector like those used at airports. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
It's 6 minutes after 12 midnight on a Tuesday morning, January 27th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.